Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Canadian Gamers, and we have been invaded by Tim.
I know, an American joins the fry yet again. So it's been a while, huh, Jared?
Yeah, man, it's been a long time. Steven has purposely been avoiding you, that monster, and this is what I love about it. We get to make fun of him for like the next hour.
Exactly, awesome. And we know Steven will be listening, so Steven, by the way, we need to get you back on a little bit of, we're going to try to get you on Discord, buddy. I know you keep saying what the hell is that, but we'll convert you.
Yeah, you have to remember Steven has basically the IQ of not quite a 4-year-old, but like about a 3.5-year-old. So he has a lot of trouble like turning on, you know, like a light bulb, flushing the toilet, stuff like that. So using more advanced applications such as, you know, Windows is rather challenging for him. But anyways, I digress. So we got a real special episode for you guys today. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Tim's been a true gentleman, came prepared, and we have basically a whole list of stuff that we want to go over. But at a high level, essentially what we want to do is we want to talk about a lot of the news that came out for the PlayStation 5. We got a release date. We got a price. We got to look at a couple of games that are coming up. Some look pretty interesting. And then with the Xbox Series, I don't even know what to call it anymore because it's Series X, Series S. So I'm just calling it the Xbox Series.
Ah, good idea.
We got to look at some games and some features and stuff like that. And we also have a big announcement that was made that we really want to cover. And then depending on where we are with time, we'll talk about some Nintendo stuff too. So why don't you start, Mr. Magana?
Ah, perfect. We will start off with the big news of PlayStation 5. So we officially know all the great information on the system, like launch date, which is now November 12th, 2020. So all the rumors about that coming out around November held true. We have two editions of PlayStation, which is very interesting. I'm loving this, by the way, Jared, that the fact that they're doing multiple systems. First, we have PlayStation 5 Digital Edition, which sells for USD. Now, obviously, regional cost may vary. $399.99. PlayStation Normal, which I guess you could call it, has a DVD
disc base.
There you go. It has the disc media format capability, and it is $499.99. So nothing surprising there, Jared. I'm pretty sure you were expecting this kind of price line. I'm glad that they're giving a cheaper alternative, and that's good for consumers, right? I personally would get digital, but.
Yeah, no, I think, let's be honest, like the market is going more and more and more towards digital. I think it's good. I mean, it gives a good entry price, right? $400 and $500 is essentially what it is. And I think that's good. You know, like, I think it's a good deal. I think we're going to have a lot more to say once we talk about the Microsoft side of things, because they added quite a significant wrinkle to the traditional console pricing, which I think is going to be really, really interesting. But we'll save that to later. But no, in terms of pricing, I mean, this is pretty much exactly what I expected.
Exactly. And then side note, the pre-orders went September 17th. They started a little hiccups, but what do you expect? And then we'll talk more about other stuff.
We should talk about that actually. So Sony basically had like an event where they revealed the price and some games, and Tim's going to talk about those in just a sec, as well as there was a previous sort of like demonstration, if you will, where there was a bunch of other games that were like revealed or spoken about or whatnot. But what was interesting was they said like tomorrow pre-orders will go live. And it was pretty much like, I don't know, 5 minutes after their little demonstration that Walmart in the States said, like, wait, nah, we don't make our customers wait. Like, pre-orders are available immediately. And then pretty much everybody did that. So your Best Buy, Target, like everybody. And pardon my expression, but it was quite the shit show, because you had people that were like, oh, well, you know, I just watched the demonstration. They said tomorrow. So, you know, you go back to work or you go do something else only to discover that everything's sold out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a low, like, move there. Now, I don't know. A lot of people were blaming Sony for that, but I'm not entirely sure if that was actually Sony's fault or if that was the retailers who jumped the gun. I'm not actually sure, but in either case, it was a little bit of a mess.
Exactly. And then Sony did officially apologize, saying that, let's be honest, the PlayStation 5 pre-order could have been a lot smoother. And, you know, it's cool for them to say stuff like that to help, you know, it's a PR thing, obviously. But I kind of think, I mean, we don't know facts on what it is, but I kind of think it was the retailers that jumped the gun. And it's interesting because you've noticed this a lot lately, that different entities throughout the world have, they'll have a Mass Effect trilogy remaster was on the site and then it was taken down right away. Now they officially said, no, it's not coming. So it's just interesting how these, I don't know if they do it for, like, you know, just to get extra sales to their sites, who knows? But yeah, I wouldn't blame Sony 100% on this. And they, you know, they came up to bat and said, hey, we apologize to our consumers. So that was good for them to do.
Yeah, for sure. So what about games? Tell us a little bit about some of the games that were spoken about.
Ooh, there was some pretty, pretty nice stuff. First things we'll talk about is Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is awesome because Jared, being a hardcore Marvel fan or comic fan in general, he knows the multiverse for Marvel like probably better than most people, and it's interesting that they're embracing this. It's not just the Peter Parker Spider-Mans anymore. And then this is in their games, their movies. Wasn't there an animated movie a few years back
to Spider-Verse?
Yeah, and I heard it was really good. I got to see that eventually. But it's
excellent.
So I'm really happy to see that, especially right now too. I think companies want to diversify their portfolios and stuff like that. And then we have, besides that, we also have Horizon Forbidden West, which is a huge new series, I think, for Sony, right? I'm actually really happy that it's on PC, by the way, the first title, so I could get that on there. So I'm looking forward to that. Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart? If you're a Ratchet fan, you guys probably would really like that. Gran Turismo 7. Is there ever going to be a PlayStation, Jared, without a Gran Turismo? That's a grand question there. And
no, the answer. I love how you said Ratchet and Crank.
Oh, did I say it? Or Crank? Or Clank. Sorry, Clank. Speed reader
that was
here.
Great. And just so that everybody knows, like, what we're talking about right now was the stuff that was announced like about a month or two ago. And well, you can finish that list, but there was some very surprising. There was one very surprising announcement to me, anyway, that was made with their new demonstration.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty sure I can guess which one that one is. And then we also, a lot of people talking about this is the Demon's Souls remake, which is really popular game, by the way. I didn't get to play it, but they also go online. I've been watching it, some of the comparison of the original. That's quite different, obviously. It looks amazing, by the way. I must admit, the footage I've seen looks it looks amazing.
And yeah, that's what I wanted to comment. I wanted to comment and say that, like, it looked very sick. Like, when we saw, like, in this previous demonstration that they showed, like, that to me, that looks like a next-gen game. Like, the atmosphere in the environments was just, like, wow, like, next level.
And, you know, you bring a good point about the atmosphere, because next, we're getting to the point now where you remember as a kid, you went from NES to Super NES, big jump in visuals, sound, etc. Same thing with all the other systems prior. But now it's getting to the point where the graphic leap isn't so profound anymore, but it's the little things, like you said, the environment that makes such a huge difference in next-gen technology. So it's amazing that it's like, okay, well, you know, the models don't look that much better than last-gen, but it's all the lighting, the shading, the ray tracing, all that little stuff that makes the huge, huge difference in the next-gen technology. It's not so much a huge leap forward in visuals themselves.
Yeah.
and then the big daddy of them all that they introduced. And you and I were talking about this, and we were surprised that Final Fantasy 16 was shown a trailer with some gorgeous gameplay as well. At least we looks like it's gameplay. I mean, they didn't really know. But it was interesting, and at the end of the trailer, too, it listed coming to PC as well. So this one note I wanted to say too, Jared. You remember back in the day where we used to, here in North America, I'm not an importer like you are, so you don't really have this issue, but for the rest of us back in the day, we had to wait so long to get these big titles in the U.S., and now it's not that case. Everything's international now, and it's amazing.
Yeah, well, it hasn't... Yeah, and it hasn't been for quite a while. Like, we've been, like, in terms of Final Fantasy, it's been quite a long time now that it's been, like, an international release, which is good. I mean, that makes sense. That makes total sense. And the thing with me were for Final Fantasy 16 was I guess in hindsight, I shouldn't have been surprised because it's actually been 4 years since the release of Final Fantasy 15, but I just didn't see it coming. Like when I saw the Chocobo, I was like, really? I did not expect that. And then to see it like console exclusive to the PS5 and then coming to PC as well, I mean, that just makes sense. I think you're going to be seeing that more and more and more across the board. But there is one thing before we continue with the list of games and stuff. I didn't like, for me, it looked good, but it didn't look Dark Souls. I always get that screwed up. It's Demon Souls, yeah. So it didn't look quite as polished as Demon Souls did. Like Demon Souls looked, like I said, the atmosphere looked unbelievable. Whereas with this, I felt this still could have been like a PS4 Xbox One game, but I think that's going to be a common trend going forward where there's just going to be little things here and there. And listen, maybe I'm totally I'm totally nuts, but there's one thing that happened right around this time. So I'm watching this and I got a bling from Twitter. So I got a notification from Twitter basically telling me, hey, video game prices are going up by $10. So it was kind of cool. Like I was watching that at the same time that I got that tweet saying that, you know, games are going up by $10. And in Canada right now, like for you guys, they're at $69, right?
Yeah. Well, most games are $59.99 by default, unless it's a special edition or collector's edition. But $59.99 is usually the standard.
Okay, so then it would be $69.99 Canadian because we're $10 more, and now they're going up another $10. Oh, so I was like, "Damn, man! Like it's going to be expensive." But again, I shared this with you, Tim. Like we don't realize how good we have it right now. Back in the day of cartridges, and I even shared with you the Toys R Us flyers. Like they were expensive. You could pay $105 for like GoldenEye. You know, like so. I know we like to complain a lot about prices and stuff, but just saying that. You know, even $10 up is still not comparable to what it was years ago. I still have my original cartridge, like the box with a sticker on it. I just cut around the cellophane, and from I don't know why I bought it at Zellers, but my copy of Super Mario Brothers 3 from Zellers was $99.99.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And it's when you showed me those flyers, I totally forgot myself. Like, oh shit, you're right, man. In NES days, it was expensive as hell too. But back then, yeah, I was a kid, so most of my games were from my parents. But shit, you're right. We are spoiled. And then I've told you many times.
Okay, so keep going. Keep going with your list here. I want to hear your.
And then the next one, and I really like this one. There was kind of rumor about it, but a Resident Evil Village, or also known as Resident Evil 8. The footage, if you saw it, looks very interesting. I've noticed that the Resident Evil series has evolved over the years, right? Now it looks like it's a first-person shooter,
it is.
Perspective
yeah,
again.
Yeah, so you didn't play 7, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, go 7. Go ahead and play 7. It's really trippy, man.
Is it?
Scary as hell. It's in first person, and it's like it's scary as hell. What's cool about Village or 8, when it was shown, because again, it's been shown twice now. So the thing was, like what I get is I get these vibes from Resident Evil 4. It feels like you're going back to like well, a village again, which you are, but I just, every time, like, I see the trailers and, like, I see, like, new footage from the game, I just get, it has a serious Resident Evil 4 vibe to it, like, crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Even some of the visual style, like, not only that, like you said, the visual styles themselves, like, pay homage, or whatever you want to call it, to Resident Evil 4, which is a great game, by the way. It was, man, that system's... That game's been on every system and then since GameCube era. But yeah, I agree with you 100%. It looks very much Resident Evil 4 vibe, which is good. And it's the gameplay footage is pretty up to par what I was expecting. Very beautiful environmental stuff for that game. And I'm looking forward to see if it's going to be out on PC as well. Because
For sure, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Which is great, man, because I don't have to worry about getting all these systems anymore.
No, I think those days are coming to an end, to be honest. Like, I think consoles now, it's like, you know, consoles are there for convenience, for sure. But if you are a PC gamer, I think, like, more and more and more, you're going to see it'll be released, like, Game X will be released on PlayStation 5 and PC. Game Y will be released on Xbox Series, whatever, XS, and PC. So were you done with your list, or should I jump into the launch games?
I'm pretty much it. I was just going to say that some tech stuff was like 4K up to 120 FPS and 120 megahertz.
Everybody knows that.
But now that's it for my list for PlayStation key games.
Okay, perfect. So what I've done is I actually have a list here of confirmed PlayStation 5 launch titles, okay? Now, this generation is probably, I think it is, I think it's the first generation where you're basically left sitting here going, okay, how do we figure out what is actually a launch title? You see, and you're gonna see this when we talk about the Xbox as well. There are a lot of games from last generation that are being essentially retextured. So there's going to be like a day one patch for those games for the new platform. But that technically doesn't make those games launch titles. You know what I mean? Like, they're already available. So all I'm going to include here are games that are actually quote unquote new. Okay. So here's what's been confirmed as per Sony on their official site. We have Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is coming to everything under the sun. Astro's Playroom, which is included on every single PlayStation 5. It's actually on the hard drive. Demon's Souls, which is a brand new game. You cannot buy that. Even though it's a remaster, it's still brand new. Destruction All-Stars, Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition, which will only be available digitally. Fortnite, which... I mean, yes, it's, you know, it's a launch title, but it's available on everything under the sun. Godfall, like you said, Marvel, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Observer, System Redux, and Sackboy, A Big Adventure. That's it. Now, there are other games, like I said, but I don't want to get into all of that, because if we start to look at remasters like day one patches and stuff, I'll forget that. We'll be here all day.
Exactly.
But there was one thing that I did very quickly just want to touch upon, and I'm not going to go into like all of it, but PlayStation announced something called the PlayStation Plus Collection that is going to be available if you're a PlayStation Plus member. And essentially, I think all of these games are either just PS4 games standard, or they're also going to be a little bit touched up. I'm not sure, but they include everything from like Battlefield, Arkham Knight, Bloodborne, Days Gone, a lot of first party stuff, God of War, Ratchet and Clank, Resident Evil 7 is even in there, Uncharted 4. And this is essentially their way of sort of, I don't want to say competing with Game Pass, but it's like their little like giveaway type of thing. And actually, I say giveaway, but I don't even know. You may even have to pay for this. I'm not sure.
Oh, there's nothing free in the world, right? Someone has to pay for it in one way or another.
Yeah, that's it. But so, I mean, overall... Like, I think it would be fun if we do this. So, like, overall, when I saw the latest whatever you call it, demonstration, I was like, okay, you know, like Sony seems to got their stuff together. Like they seem that they're on the right track here. Yes, their launch titles leave a lot to be desired, but I think Demon's Souls is going to really appear to the hardcore, and Spider-Man is going to appeal to everyone. And so I think it's like, okay, it's not awful. You know what I mean? It's not amazing, but it's not awful. And I think the like once Ratchet and Clank comes out, which I believe that's supposed to be around December or something, like it's nearly done. So I'm really personally, I love that series, so I'm really looking forward to that. But it looks like when I saw this, I was like, okay, this is a console that I would buy. You know what I mean? Like I was like, okay, there's enough on here with the promise for more. There was even, which we didn't talk about, but there was a little teaser at the very end of their demonstration for God of War Ragnarok, and I can't wait for that. That's going to be sick. So I mean, like, I think they did a good job of exciting me personally. I can't say for anyone else, but for me, I was like, okay, like there's enough here that I'd go ahead and pick this up.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not a huge fan of the Spider-Man games, but they are entertaining. I played them, dabbled here and there. I mean, they're fun stuff. It wouldn't be a system seller for me per se, but stuff like Ratchet's pretty cool stuff if you like platforming. I personally really would look forward to the Horizon and the Resident Evil. But we know those aren't going to be out for launch.
Yeah, well, that's why. Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm saying, like, for it's just like there's enough in the system that I'm excited to say, exactly. You know what? Yeah. Like if I've got enough free time, this is something I'm going to buy because there's enough coming to the system that I'm interested. Exactly. And I'll be very honest with you before you start with Microsoft. Actually, you know what? Let's start with Microsoft, but don't reveal the big news.
Ah, okay. No problem. So what we're going to do is everyone by now knows that there's two versions of Microsoft Microsoft Series S, Microsoft Series X. It launches on November 10th, 2020, so not that far away, a couple days before Sony. I don't know if that's going to make a big difference, but it's good for Microsoft to get ahead of the gate, out of the gate first. Xbox Series X sells for $299, very good price for an entry, and Xbox Series X, their flagship model, is $499, so it's the same cost as the big Sony Normal Edition, and pre-orders started today. Good luck with that, guys. I hear it's not going that smooth either.
Yeah, so, okay, so like we did with Sony, we'll just redo the exact same thing we did with Sony, okay? So we'll do a little pauses between each one of the big things so that we can talk a little bit about them. Okay, so with this, there's something you didn't mention, and I don't know if you're going to mention it after. Were you going to talk about All Access?
The Game Pass All Access stuff, yeah.
No, not just Game Pass, but specifically All Access.
Ooh, I was gonna, and that's down later in the list, but we could talk about it right now.
Yeah, talk about that right now because you just mentioned the pricing, and so what is All Access?
So I'm assuming. Well, I hopefully got the prices right because I have a couple listed here. Xbox Game Pass for PC and consoles. And it's per month Ultimate, or if they call it the All Access, is also known as Ultimate, correct?
Okay, they're two different things.
Oh, okay. I don't know about the All Access.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, man.
I dropped the ball. I thought I had everything ready. Shoot, because I went
okay,
tonight.
I'm going to look for the price right now for what it is. Okay, so this is what's really important, okay, guys? It's really important because this is unbelievable to me. So Tim just told you $299 and $499, right? For the prices.
It's Xbox. These are the base ones. Xbox Game Pass for PC and console. No, the costs are.
The hardware itself. Okay. Yes. Now, when we talk about Game Pass, if you don't know, is essentially a service that allows you access to literally like hundreds of games and day and date. For big games are there. So in other words, so how much is it a month?
Okay, so for per month, you have two prices, the $9.99 per month or $14.99 per month for Ultimate. And to let you know,
so what's the difference?
To let you know, the PC had a beta phase that just ended the 17th of this month, and it was $4.99, and your first month was only a dollar. So that is no longer available, unfortunately, people. But what that includes is it launched, I don't know how many games it has now, but it launched with over 100 games that are free included. So basically, the service works like this. You pay the service fee subscription to Microsoft every month, either on PC or console, and you're allowed to play AAA. Well, not all of them are AAA, but I'll use one game as an example. The Outer Worlds, a game that just recently, it's $59.99 cost. So if you do the cost, if you play a couple games a year, you get more than your money's worth. But what they do is it allows you to play a bunch of what the basic is subscription-based games, which are some are great, some are whatever, and it allows you to play for free as long as you're a member of the service. So that is an important note, though, is that you have to continue your subscription in order to keep these games. If you stop, you will lose access to it. So like the Outer Worlds, if you play it for a month, you quit your game, you're not going to be able to play Outer Worlds. I'm just using an example later on. So it's important for people.
Okay, but what is the difference between the two prices?
Oh, $9.99 and $14.99. The difference is you get Ultimate, gives you a little bit more shenanigans and some more bells and whistles, and it also covers both platforms.
Doesn't it also include Xbox Gold?
Yes,
it does. Doesn't it also include... Yeah, exactly.
So it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. So not only are you getting the multiplayer for the, as you go on, but you're also getting games with Gold, which are all those free games that they throw in. Plus, you're getting access to so many games. It's unbelievable on a monthly basis. Plus, they're constantly adding stuff. And you also get deals if you want to purchase those games. So, for example, like you were saying about,
The Outer Worlds.
So, like Outer Worlds as an example. If you want to buy Outer Worlds on PC and or Xbox, it'll actually be cheaper if you're a member.
They'll
shave off, like a certain amount. So what I'm talking about, though, is, and that's a great service, by the way, and that service is about to get nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? It's about to get just insane. But we'll save that for just a second. So check this out, ladies and gentlemen. All Access, if you don't know, is the cheapest way of getting into basically consoles. Okay, right now, today, I only have the price. I apologize for this. I only have the prices in US, so I don't have anywhere else. But for $22.99, okay, you get an Xbox One S, 24 months, so 2 years of Xbox Game Pass, and you get 18-month console upgrade option. I'm not entirely sure what that is, but I think it's got to do with the Xbox Series X, like that you can upgrade, okay? So you pay that $22.99 a month for 2 years, okay? And you get yourself the console, you get yourself 2 years of Xbox Game Pass, plus Xbox Live and all that other stuff, because it's Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. So you're getting all of that stuff for $22.99 a month. Do the math, and Microsoft is actually not charging you more money. This is actually it's unbelievably cheap. So get this. Starting today, for $24.99, you get yourself, for 2 years, okay, per month, you get yourself an Xbox Series S console and 2 years of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Or for $34.99, you get yourself an Xbox Series X console with 2 years of Xbox Game Pass. I'm telling you guys right now, $35 a month for next-gen console, day one, that's an incredible deal.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Exactly, it is. And it's kind of interesting because, on a side note, you see a lot of cell manufacturers doing this stuff too, where you can lease or whatever you want to call it, pay a small monthly fee so you could get any kind of new tech as soon as you want. You're not stuck to like the old days where you had to wait 2 years. Yeah, so it's interesting to see this happening on the hardware side for consoles, man. I'm telling you, Microsoft is we'll obviously talk more about this as we go on, but Microsoft is really pushing some neat ideas, and I think they know. We'll talk about it more in with other related news to this podcast, but they're pushing some interesting ideas, and I hope it's successful, and it might
Well, dude, they're bringing it. Seriously, right now, like after the news, we'll get to that. But like even without any of the big news, the megaton announcement that was just made the other day, this news in and of itself, man, I'll be honest, I was sitting here and I was like, if I had a family with kids, I would do that. I would do that. What the hell is $35 a month today in 2020?
Yeah,
that's nothing. And I never have to hear them complain about video games, because with the Xbox Game Pass, every month they get access day and date to the release of a bunch of different games, including first party games from Microsoft. So like I said, like when that new Halo comes out, I don't have to worry about little Jimmy complaining to me that, you know, like, oh, I want Halo for my birthday or whatever. He's already going to have it and it costs me nothing.
Exactly. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yeah, man. It's awesome. And I just want to touch a little bit on the Xbox Series S for just a second. And yes, it's weaker. And like we're not going to get into all the tech specs because that news is old now. But I do want to say that like if you have just like a 1080p TV, and this may be a surprise for some of you, but I don't even have a 4K TV because why? My 1080p TV is gorgeous. It's still in perfect condition. Why the hell am I going to go and replace my TV with a 4K TV? Like, I just, like, why? There's no need for me to do that right now. And sure, once it craps out or whatever, I'll pick up a 4K TV. But, like, looking at the next-gen, like, hardware there, I mean, the Xbox Series S, man, is a good deal for what it is. $299 and you get access to next-gen games and stuff, I don't know. I really think that that Microsoft is being damn smart about this.
Yeah, they are. And then even I was telling you earlier, too, that even for $499, these consoles, to get 4K gaming at least guaranteed at 60 frames per second, you can't do that on the PC at that price. So It's good. $300 for this kind of entry level is amazing. I mean, yeah, they're doing really good stuff. And, you know, the consumers, you know, people right now are, you know, because of the corona issues, there's a lot of people out of work right now. So November's not going to get probably much better. So if you could save an extra $100, $200, I think a lot of people are going to be all for that. So it's
Exactly. 100%, man. 100%. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the games, and then I'll switch once you're done, and I'll switch to what has been confirmed. Or would you rather me just do that?
If you want, you could go ahead and let's talk about what has been confirmed, because my list is probably going to pretty much match what you have anyways.
Okay, so one game that's been being thrown around a lot, which I'm not liking, is Gears 5. So Gears of War 5. And I'm not liking that because it's, again, it's one of these games where it's simply a day one patch update for a game that's already available. If you want to play Gears 5, you can play Gears 5 today on your PC if you'd like. You just join the Game Pass and hey, there it is. So here's what we have coming on November 10th. Okay, we've got Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Should sound familiar.
Yep.
We've got Bright Memory, Dirt 5, FIFA 21, Fortnite again, Gears Tactics, Marvel's Avengers, NBA 2K21, Observer System Redux, Tetris Effect Connected, The Falconeer, Watch Dogs Legion, Yakuza Like a Dragon. Now, what's interesting with this is a hell of a lot of these are games that are already available on the Xbox One. So what I don't like with this particular list is I don't know if a lot of those games like Watch Dogs, like Yakuza, well, not like Yakuza, but Marvel's Avengers, I'm not sure if those are upgraded or were they built from the ground up for the Xbox. I'm not sure.
So I don't think it would be, but you never know. And we obviously don't know the factual information, so we could, it's just hearsay, but we don't know. But my guess would be probably not built from the ground up, because that would take a lot of resources, and it's probably just easier for them to upscale and do some little minor code changes.
No, 100%. But I'm wondering why the hell is it on this list?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Like it shouldn't be on the list if it's just you know, but anyway, whatever. So what other games did you have?
Let's see. You only covered out. all of them, actually. And it's good that you listed Tetris, because it was awesome seeing that there, actually. Because you know me, I love old school Tetris, man. It was one of my favorite games of all time. But no, that's pretty much it of the big ones.
Okay,
but that,
well, there is one then. I'm going to cut you off to talk about, which is Halo Infinite.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't even list that one.
I think, personally, like, if it wasn't for the backlash that they got, because, you see, like, all the stuff that we're talking about, guys, is based on demonstrations that were given. I don't want to call them conferences, because that's kind of, they're not really conferences, but they're like Nintendo Directs. And like, the internet exploded when Halo, oh God, what is it, 6, I think it is? Whatever Halo Infinite is, I think it's 6. Once that came out, it basically, like, people were like, what? This isn't next gen. And a lot of people have been really hard on Microsoft, because they're basically saying that the Xbox Series X is basically a continuation of the Xbox One. And yes, it's a brand new platform, and you know, it's 100% next gen. It's going to be the most powerful next gen console. But a lot of people look at it and they're like, yeah, but if you're making all these games backwards compatible, then, like, are you really using the full potential of the system? And this was something, like, there was a lot of contention around this. A lot of people were not upset, but just annoyed, you know?
Exactly.
Excuse me. Yeah, so anyways, so Microsoft eventually delayed Halo Infinite, saying that it's not up to par of what they wanted. And at the time when they did that, I was kind of like, well, what the hell is the point of buying an Xbox? Like, truly, I was like with Game Pass on PC, why would I, like, what need is there to buy an Xbox? I don't get it. I have a powerful computer, and I'm not getting this. And we're going to get into the Megaton announcement now, which I'll leave to you to talk about. But now, since the Megaton announcement, I'm now wondering how crazy things would have been had Halo looked better and it had been a launch title. Could you imagine the 1-2 punch that would have been?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Would have been a 1-2 punch.
Crazy. And, so tell us about the Megaton, man. All right. I'm excited.
So as of yesterday, we wake up, you know, everyone says, oh, Mondays suck. It sucks being Monday. Well, maybe not so much today for gaming industry. It's a huge, huge. Microsoft announced that they have acquired ZeniMax Media Incorporated. Now, not maybe all our viewers know who that is, so I'm going to go over a little broad spectrum of who they are and their companies. They are the holding company for ID Software, the developers of Quake, Doom, and Rage. Oh, Quake Arena, how I miss you. Arkane Studios, developer of Dishonored and Prey. Machine Games, the developer of, guess what? Wolfenstein. Tango Gameworks, a Japanese developer, by the way. Interesting, because Japan is a market that Microsoft had been trying to get a foothold in. So I don't know if this one little company will do it, but it sure won't hurt. The Evil Within, they are the developers of that. And of course, the big daddy of them all. It's so excited here with all this news. Bavista Studios, Softworks and Game Studios, they are the developer of the amazing Elder Scrolls games, which Jared and I are fans of, Fallout series, just to name a few. And then Their online studios, which is the developer of the Elder Scrolls Online. Also, let's not forget the Canadian company that is owned as part of their list, Alpha Dog Games, as well.
And that's then right, they, man. Represent.
Exactly. I can't forget them. And then also Roundhouse Studios, which is one of their smaller type thing. But yeah, man, this is huge, dude. And then just to let you guys know, they bought them for 7.5 billion dineros. So that's
I was surprised that you didn't buy them first.
Oh, I know, right? They didn't take it. I was only offering 7.1 billion. They didn't want to take that. But man, this is such a game changer for Microsoft in a lot of levels. One, the IPs that they now own alone is huge.
Huge.
I mean, I remember your text in the morning, like, well, what's this? Oh, shit. And I was like, wow, okay, this is amazing. Real big move. And it is a day before the pre-orders go live, which was yesterday with the big announcement. Today, the pre-orders go live. So that was another slick little move from Microsoft. And then hearing and reading all the feedback and industry stuff, it's amazing that this has happened. And it came out of nowhere, right? You had no rumor. Well, stuff like this, traditionally, you don't get rumors because for a lot of reasons, Microsoft's a publicly traded company and inside trade. Yeah, so it's stuff like this is kept hush hush. It's not like, the new that's coming out for Xbox. You hear me? No, it's different with big transactions like this because there's a lot of legal shit that could go wrong if leaks get out there. But what's your initial gut feeling about this and how you think it's going to affect these amazing IPs going forward? I mean, they're on every system. Let's just take Skyrim, for instance. What system is it not on, right?
No, exactly. So, I mean, okay, so my thoughts on this are varied. So, first off, $7.5 billion makes this the largest acquisition in video game history. This is something that you and I used to talk about way back on the Insider message board.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That if Microsoft ever truly flexed its muscles, it would be able to do anything because of its war chest of money. And I'll be honest, I'm really, really surprised it took this long.
Exactly.
I don't get it. Like when the Xbox 360, the Xbox One was struggling, that's when I thought they were going to make a move like this. Like I thought they would, you know, like buy out some, you know, huge publisher like Ubisoft or something like that. Just to get access to like a plethora of different IPs. So, I mean, it's always surprising. It's always surprising when we get news like this, but like some part, you know, of my brain somewhere, I was like, I'm so surprised that it took this long because like these guys have so much money and they could almost monopolize the entire industry just by purchasing, you know, giant studios like this. So just one little note I want to make is that as of today, so after the announcement, Microsoft now owns 23 first-party studios. That is more than I believe anyone else. I do not believe anyone else in the industry has that many first-party studios. I might be wrong, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
And given the caliber of Bethesda alone, I mean, that's a company. And yes, they release a bunch of buggy games and stuff like that, but their games sell.
Huge.
But you know, then there's Wolfenstein, then there's like id Software. Like to me, growing up with like PC games like Doom and Quake, like I cannot believe that id is now a first party developer.
And it's
kind of insane.
Yeah, it's awesome and ironic in the same way. Cause over the years, we all know that, Microsoft and, id and all these have had really close relationships, so they've worked together a lot. But now the fact that they're under their umbrella is amazing. And you're right; it took a long time. And to note, I wanted to make it, you remember when Xbox first entered the console war, they did buy like Rare, but no disrespect for them, but they're not anywhere near this kind of level. So.
No, exactly. And let's not also forget that they just spent like $2 or $2.5 billion for Mojang, the developer of Minecraft, not too long ago. Now, this is going to bring up, and I know people are going to ask about this, and I'll be honest, I want to know what happens now. to all of these games, because we know that Bethesda was working with Sony, and they even announced two timed exclusives for the PS5, which we can confirm they said that they will still honor that exclusivity. So yes. Do you know how ridiculous that's going to be? Microsoft is basically, it's going to say like Microsoft Game Studios on PlayStation 5. That's going to be weird, man. And I know Microsoft's been releasing a couple of titles on the Nintendo Switch, which is really cool. Like Ori and the, what is it called? Ori and the...
the Force.
Whispers or something exactly. Like that. So I know that they just released that, and I thought that was really cool and stuff. But I know that the number one question on people's minds right now is to say, okay, well, what happens to, you know, Elder Scrolls 6? Where does that go? And this is really interesting, because like a lot of the different interviews that are taking place right now, they're saying, well, like console releases will be determined on a case by case, you know, like situation. And I'm thinking of this, and it's like, you know, they just paid $7.5 billion. You want to recuperate that money, and you want to recuperate that really like as quickly as you can. I'm really, really curious to see where they go from here. I mean, there's no way, like in my head, I'm like, there's no way that they're going to release their stuff multi-platform, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Like for me, I think personally, what I think is going to happen is like the next Elder Scrolls will be Xbox exclusive plus PC. And that's what we were talking about earlier. I think you're going to see a lot of that now, because they're going to want to maximize the, you know, their sales, right? Like you don't, just because you have it on one platform limits your sales of how high you can truly go. A great example of that is Spider-Man. Spider-Man sold something insane, like 12 million units or something on one console. But could you imagine how much that would have sold had that also been available on Xbox One?
Oh yeah. Or even, it would obviously be downgraded, but the Nintendo Switch itself, I mean, think about it. You're right. And, we're seeing less and less of that. Let's use an example of Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest is now being ported over to the PC. These are type of games that would never even be a consideration some 10, 15 years ago. But no, you're right. As a company, you don't want to limit your, and that's just what I love when you read fanboys stuff, when they get so passionate about, oh, my system. Blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, these companies don't give a crap about your loyalty. They care about the dollar. And if they can let's use Elder Scrolls Skyrim for an example. If they can make and sell an extra 15 to 20 million copies on various platforms, they're going to do it. I know people have loyalties, but at the end of the day, guys, it's all about business, and Microsoft is a business. On a side note, too, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Microsoft is the most profitable company in the world, so they're doing a lot of things right. Obviously, unlike their competitors, they have a huge, huge income off of gaming. Let's admit, Microsoft's not, when people bring up Microsoft, especially in the tech field, you don't think gaming. It's they're way different.
That's right. Yeah, but that's I mean, that's modern day business, right? Is like Microsoft basically now is almost like a conglomerate. They own so many different things. Yep. One thing I want to mention here, like I said, I personally do believe that the biggest games they're going to keep for themselves.
Yes.
Just because it boosts their library, but I think everything's coming out on PC. Like, I think everything, absolutely everything is coming out on PC. So I think that's that. Because you got to think of it like, yes, it's going to limit sales potential for sure, right? Like the next Elder Scrolls, it would sell better if it was available on everything, no duh. But I think it's like, it's too enticing for them not to do it. Or what they could do is like a timed exclusive. So the first year it's available on Xbox Series X and PC, and then year two they release it on PS5 or something like that. But I just, maybe I'm too old, but I just don't see that. I think it's they're going to keep it as like console exclusive because they want you to buy the box, right?
Yeah,
buy
exactly.
the box, buy the software, and away we go. But okay, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this because this is just awesome. Remember everything I was just talking about with Xbox Game Pass as well as All Access?
Yes.
For that $25 a month? Well, now put in the Megaton announcement here and Microsoft confirmed that every single one of these games that are already available, so in other words, the whole backlog of titles from those developers will now be available on Game Pass.
Wow.
And moving forward, so will all their new games be available on Game Pass day and date.
Oh, to that's me, huge.
Yeah, that's huge, man. So, like, what does that mean? Are we going to get Skyrim? Are we going to get Oblivion? Like, you know, by launch of the Xbox Series X, we'll have access to all these games? That would be sick, man.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Oblivion is on the 360, but still, like, to me, this is game changing. Like, this is huge.
Exactly.
And Microsoft, I know, Tim, you've mentioned this to me many times, but like, this is their way of competing not only with Sony and you know other video game makers out there, but this is them also bringing it to Steam and other services like that, because ultimately I think this is what they want to do, is that they just want to have Game Pass as their main thing. Because if I can get I don't know, 100 million people paying $10 a month, that's some serious money, man.
Oh, it's insane cash. And as of yesterday, they also announced as their Game Pass user base is 15 million subscribers. That alone paying $10 a month. Now, obviously, the beta phase was a little bit cheaper for the PC, but that's beside the point. But still, do the math. 15 million times 10, that's a shit ton of money. Yeah, we've had many discussions like this because to side note too, there was during the PlayStation 2 era, Sony made a statement about something similar to this too. They said that their ultimate vision is to have, I don't know if this changed, to have PlayStation as a brand, and they use examples of like Steam and stuff like too. So that's because they believe that the future is not hardware. And that's a debate that people have had for years. The rumor consoles are going, but now consoles are here to stay, guys. I think because everyone loves convenience, sitting on their sofa, couch, playing some good stuff on their TV. So, but Sony is on that line. But with this news as of yesterday, though, Sony has a lot. If that's their ultimate goal, they have a lot of work ahead of them. And unfortunately, Sony.
Well, okay, so but that's it, dude. So that's what I want to talk about, right? Like, I want to talk to you about that now. So with this news, remember what I said earlier, right? Where like I didn't really have any interest in Xbox, like,
yeah, exactly.
At all. Because I was like, well, what the hell's the point, right? Like, I already have a PC. Why don't I just get everything on PC and be done with it? But this announcement, this one announcement, changes things. Because now I'm like, okay, well, Skyrim, as an example, I know, this is going to be blasphemous to the hardcore PC, but Skyrim's a long, sweeping game. And I much prefer to sit on my sofa and play that on the big screen than to play it on my, you know, my 21 inch or whatever this is monitor that I have here. And yeah, I know it would look better and it would run smoother and so on. But it's like, well, with that announcement, I now have to get an Xbox Series X. I don't have a choice as a gamer because there's just way too many games that are going to be on this. And yes, I don't need it day one, so I'm not in a hurry to, like, you know, oh my god, got a pre-order. But especially when I read you those launch titles, yeah, no thanks. But yeah, so like, wow, talk about a lot changing in one day, eh?
Yeah, I don't know, exactly. And yeah, you did make a comment about the Xbox. There's really no need because your PC is pretty damn high end, so in terms of visuals, you don't need that. But yeah, this is a big game changer for, and even me, I'm most likely going to probably consider, because, you know, it is nice to play on your even though I stream for the site, I kind of probably wouldn't. He's playing on my big TV anyways. But no, it's a game changer, man. And it's good to see because, man, it's just Microsoft took a long time to make their big moves, but they're serious about this. There's none of this, gaming is a side shit. No, this is a major part of their business now, and it's going to be interested. It's going to be interested. But, and also, too, as a gamer, you get to there's going to be some, I mean, very little maybe, but there are going to be some games, I'm sure, on the Xbox Series. It might not be on the PC right away, maybe some indie stuff. Who knows? But I'm pretty sure there'll be some content in there that might be non-PC, but Microsoft and PC are hand-to-hand, so that they support both. So
I just can't get over this, because like this generation, like after Halo 5, basically I stopped playing Microsoft completely.
Yeah,
like I even, like, so much so, and I'm not exaggerating, I even packed up my Xbox One and got rid of it because I was like, I'm not using it. I'm like, it's just collecting dust. It's like, I'm, you know, I'm using my Poly Mega more than I'm using my my current gen systems. And like the Switch is pretty much my bread and butter, but I got to admit, man, like I'm now actively excited for next generation. And the fact that school is done, and yes, work is killing me here, but the fact that school is done changes the game a little bit.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You'll be able to maybe do a little breather, hopefully, when this nasty virus shit slows down. It should hopefully be...
Yeah, man.
But
no, exactly. So what did you want to say about Nintendo? And then we'll wrap this up.
Oh, okay. So Nintendo also last week... Well, it wasn't necessary. Nintendo had a awesome mini direct for partners, though. Nothing Nintendo related themselves, first party or second party. And it was the various developers, but... There's been rumors floating around that the new mainline Monster Hunter game was coming for the Switch. Well, like rumors, they tend to, most of the time, not all the time, be true. So the Nintendo Switch on March 26, 2021, we have still about a six-month wait, unfortunately, Monster Hunter Rise is coming for the Nintendo Switch, and Capcom's given a little bit more details. It is a mainline series. It's not considered a side game. Some people were worried about that. It's on the lines of more open world zones, like world, meaning anyone familiar with the Monster Hunter series knows that the games are very short little zones, and you zone, enter a new area, zone, loading, etc. So it's going to be more like world. So I'm really happy about that. And there's some other key features, like the whole Rise thing is where you can actually do like a grappling hook type stuff. So that's kind of cool. They're adding new elements to the game. And it's based in like a ninja theme village and stuff. So it really, really looks cool. And there's, of course, videos on it. But that's not the only Monster Hunter. There's been also rumor that another game in the Monster Hunter series, Stories, was going to come to the Switch either as a remake. But nope, it is where you're getting Monster Hunter Stories 2 in summer 2021. No firm date. So, and if you've seen the footage, I'm not sure if you have, Jared, from both of them, they both look very, very nice. Obviously, Rise isn't quite the detail of world, but it should, no one would expect that, but it looks damn good compared to Generations U.
Yeah, no, look really, really good. And I hope I get a chance to check it out, because it got me hyped. I like the new mechanics that they're using and stuff. So I was like, all right, cool, man. Like, you know, I don't know what's going on, man. I'm getting hyped. I haven't felt this way in a long time.
Exactly. And another side note, too, is I'm pretty sure any Monster Hunter fan knows that Monster Hunter is a huge series in Japan. Or Japan is obviously Nintendo's mecca. Nintendo rules that market pretty much with an iron fist. And this just kind of puts the straw that broke the camel's back. Not saying Sony won't, but
I need to interrupt you here. It was a big Japanese series. After Monster Hunter World, it is now a huge worldwide series.
Exactly. So
the Switch getting this. This is pretty big. Seriously, this is actually, people may not even believe this, but this is actually bigger news than Final Fantasy 16 being console exclusive to the PlayStation 5, because if you go by sales, Monster Hunter World outsold Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I don't know if you've played that game. I'm really liking it. It's I'm going to start streaming it for the channel. But man, yeah, it's good to, it's their Capcom's largest series. And it's a great fun. It's a grindy game, though, obviously. It's not going to be for everyone. But, man, it's a huge series for a reason. And the Nintendo Switch is not going anywhere anytime soon. I know there's a lot of people over the years saying Nintendo's done. But not, Nintendo keeps doing what Nintendo does. And it's amazing the fact that they're still around kicking major ass and taking names after all these years. Yeah, Monster Hunters is huge, huge, huge for Nintendo, not only in Japan, but in the world. There's going to be people that are going to buy the system just for that. And I think we'll wrap things up. Oh, one quick thing, though, was also Nintendo made. Nothing official, guys, and nothing hearsay, but they telling developers, get your games 4K ready. So that could mean a couple things. It just could mean a Switch Pro, which has been a rumor since what for the last year and a half to 2 years, or it could be next gen hardware. We don't know, and we have no insight on it at all. But it's just interesting, Jared. What do you think about when they made that statement? Do you think it's
So I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, we know something is coming. If we look at here, I'm just checking when it was released. Why isn't it here? It was 2017, wasn't it? It's already 3 years old, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So, I mean, like, how much life does this thing have left in it? And I know it sold gangbusters. It's over 60 something million. I think it's over 65 million now. But the truth is that you now have two consoles that are vastly superior to this. I mean, the Nintendo Switch was already not as powerful as the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4, but now you're going, you know, now we're going into the stratosphere here. So I think it's inevitable. It's just a question of what is this? Like you said, right? Like, what is this exactly? And I'm not sure. This is where Steven comes in, because he's good at speculating with stuff like this. Because, like, for me, I look at it and I'm like, would they really want to do a refresh like the new 3DS? Like, is that what this is going to be? New Nintendo Switch? Is that really what they want to do? And if it is what they want to do, like, how are you going to go about it? Is it going to be exclusive games or not? Like, what do you, like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
And not only that, you split the user base too. And then the same week, last week, they started talking about how they want to, they said it's in the middle of their lifespan for Switch and they want to extend. So it's like contradiction, or kind of like, okay, well, you're saying get ready for 4K. Are you hinting towards next gen? Or no, well, we want to extend the life of the Switch. So, yeah, it's hard to say.
And that's it, dude. And that's just it. And right now the rumors are saying that the Switch, whatever it is targeting a, like, 2021, late 2021 or early 2022 release date.
Yeah.
So if you're going into 2022, that is not an upgrade. That's the next system.
Interesting.
Like, that would be the Switch 2 or whatever, you know. So I don't know, man. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Steven has to say about that.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to have comments. Oh, yeah, he will. You know Steven. Too bad he couldn't
never
make it
shuts up.
He's a good guy, though. We still give him a hard time about him being technologically challenged, and that's putting lightly. Come on, Steven. Come on, Steven. But anyways, Jared, I had a blast today. I think we covered pretty much everything. There was a lot today, too. And,
yes, sir, there was.
Yeah, fun. It's good stuff. Oh, it's fun stuff and good stuff. And yeah, there's been an interesting week between the Microsoft, the Monster Hunter, and all this good stuff. It's a good time. And then we still have the holidays and all the big, huge titles coming up soon. So,
yeah, well, we have Tokyo Game Show. Tokyo Game Show is right around the corner, so we'll see what gets announced there. Should probably see some more support for Resident Evil 8, and you know, who knows what else. But all right, guys, well, thank you very much for checking us out today, and we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care, everyone.
Late.